Good evening. At this season of the year, most of us are thinking about doing all we can to make a nice Christmas for the youngsters. Children are the center of the Christmas season. That is as it should be. But we must not forget the elderly people either. Old folks who perhaps have lost their families and are pretty lonely at this time of year. One of the projects of the Salvation Army here in Kalamazoo is the Friendship Club, an organization for elderly people which meets once a month at the Citadel. Last Tuesday afternoon, the club held its annual Christmas party at the Salvation Army Citadel. Our women's editor, Joanna Standish, was a guest at that party, and I have asked her if she will give us her impressions of the club and its Christmas get-together. Joanna?
The Friendship Club Christmas party was my first holiday party of the season, Dr. Dunbar, and I want you to know that I left the hall knowing that I had made some new friends, and with that feeling of warmth and happiness that comes from being wholeheartedly welcomed into a group of strangers. The party was held in the auditorium of the Salvation Army Citadel on North Rose Street, and it was beautifully decorated for the occasion. The auditorium is a large, light room done in cream and gold and blue. I guess cheerful is the word that best describes it. And there was a tall Christmas tree in one corner with lights and all kinds of decorations, and there were greens and wreaths all around the room, too. The Friendship Club was organized about 5 years ago by the Salvation Army to give the elderly people of Kalamazoo a chance to get together now and then with folks who share their memories and who, well, sort of talk their own language. I think too often we forget that older people may be almost bored with our problems and interests. After all, most of the things that we're doing and worrying about, they've already done and worried about, and they have things to talk about and recall that we have no part of. That's why the Friendship Club, in its 5 years, has grown to a good size. They have about 300 members now, and these members come from all over the city to meet and sing and tell a bit about themselves. You'd probably be surprised to know that many of them are over 90 years old, too, though you wouldn't think it to see them and to hear them speak. Everyone participates in these monthly meetings, which start off with some singing, usually old and loved songs that everyone knows, and of course there were carols to sing at this meeting in keeping with the spirit of the season. All the members joined in, and you could see the happy memories reflected in many a face as they sang. After the singing, they had their birthday observance, and each person who had a birthday during December stood up, named the day, and received a warm birthday greeting and a gift from the whole club. There was special music, too, composed of a trio of violin and cello and piano, and the speaker for the afternoon was Reverend T. Thomas Wiley, pastor of the First Baptist Church. He told that wonderful story of O. Henry's about the struggling young couple who had such a hard time getting appropriate Christmas gifts for each other. You remember that, I'm sure, Dr. Dunbar. The wife sold her long, lovely hair to buy a watch chain for her husband's watch, and he, poor thing, sold his watch to buy matched combs for her dresses. But, of course, this spirit was there, as Reverend Wiley pointed out. Everyone enjoyed his talk immensely, and after a few more melodies from the trio, Captain Fobster called on members of the group to tell about his or her most wonderful Christmas or their oddest Christmas gift. Their individual stories would touch their hearts, as they did all of ours who were there. Then new members introduced themselves and told where they lived or where they had lived, and the meeting was adjourned with ice cream, cake, and coffee being served by the Salvation Army ladies. And there was a gift of a box of candy to each of the members, too. After the meeting, I had a talk with Captain Fobster to find out more about the Friendship Club, and he told me that these meetings were held once a month, and anyone who would like to attend is more than welcome. There are no dues, as the Salvation Army itself takes care of all of the club's expenses, and all they want is to see that these older people have a little fun and a chance to get together. In the summer, they have picnics, and throughout the year, they have quiz contests at the meetings with prizes of canned goods and just generally have a good time. Any older person who wants to meet friends of his own age group should certainly attend the Friendship Club. It's a fine thing to see those oldsters singing and talking and having their own kind of fun. And I think the Salvation Army deserves a lot of credit for seeing to it that they have an opportunity like the Friendship Club.
Indeed it does. And what you have said will give us all cause for being grateful that we have an organization like the Salvation Army in our city. But that's just one of the many projects which the Salvation Army has. The other day I went down on North Burdick Street to see the building which is being completely rebuilt and refurnished as a home for 40 elderly men. And then I went along with Captain Fobister to see some of the places where these men live now. I saw rooms in old buildings where four or five of these old men sleep. The rooms were dirty and unkept and, well, you wouldn't believe that human beings could actually live in such places. I saw a tumble-down shack out on the edge of the city, where a kindly old man lives alone with his dog. The condition under which this old man lives simply beggars description. In another place, I saw where an old man, formerly a quite influential member of this community, slept in a tiny cot beside a furnace in an old house. Now, these old men get a very small allowance from the state. They have to pay, in some cases, $5 or $6 a week for the quarters they now occupy. And that doesn't leave much for food or clothing, to say nothing for those little incidentals that all of us need. Hence, this new home for elderly men that the Salvation Army is readying for occupancy is going to be something that will certainly be a great blessing to these older citizens of ours. I have asked Captain Gordon Fobister to tell you about this new project.
I appreciate what you've said, Dr. Dunbar. It has been said that half the folks don't know how the other people have to live. Very few people in the community, I'm sure, are unaware of how some of our elder citizens are living and where they are living. The Army has been interested in this forgotten generation for a number of years, and we have been trying to do something to make their life just a little happier. A little over a year ago, I took a survey from our friendship club, which Miss Standish was telling us about. About a third of this number are men, and I found out that there are over 70 old men living in the downtown area, some of the places you have seen and described. These places are poorly ventilated. Many of the rooms are entirely inside rooms. A number of the places have no sign of heat whatsoever. In the summertime, these old men go outside and sit in front of the county buildings, watching the folks get on, get off of the bus. If the weather is wet or cold, they sit in the bus depot or at the station or even in some tavern just to have a place to sit and to meet and to talk. We have been interested in this group and wanted to do something for them. As you have described, they only get a small pension from the state. The maximum is some $50 a month. Out of that, they have to pay for their room, their food, their clothing, their incidentals, any medical expenses that they might have, so you can readily see that there isn't very much left for their living. We have been trying to do something, and about a year ago, a building came up for sale down here on North Burdick Street. 428 is the address. And Mr. Custer Hammond, the president of our board, is aware of this problem in the community, was anxious to help us to do something to provide these people with a better place to live. And seeing that we had no capital funds, he purchased this building with the understanding that perhaps a few more kind-hearted citizens with means might be interested to help provide this place where these people might live. I might describe the building as a three-story, all-brick building. It's right across the street from the depot, an interesting place for people who like to see trains come and go. The building was in a very old building. It was in very bad shape. But last June, we got Miller Davis Company in there and started remodeling that building from the top to the bottom. We have made it as safe as possible by putting on new fire escapes. We put in an automatic sprinkling system that covers every inch of the building, realizing that these people are going to be old, and we want to certainly make sure that there are no opportunities for them to be hurt. We've remodeled the rooms, and we're redecorating them. Every room is an outside room. Every room will have hot and cold running water. We have a brand new heating plant in the building, so they will all be kept warm. We're going to furnish them nicely, too. The furnishings will not be elaborate, but they will be comfortable. We'll have two men in a room. There'll be twin beds. There'll be a chest of drawers, a comfortable chair, a little table with a lamp between the beds, and I'm sure they'll find a comfortable place in which to live. There's also going to be a recreation room and a lounge. There's going to be a two-bed hospital ward where these men can receive treatment and help when they're sick. I believe the building is going to be fine and going to make a definite need in the community.
Thank you very much, Captain Fobister. I'm sure that it will. On the first floor and in the basement of that building on North Burdick Street that you've been telling us about, the Salvation Army is planning to set up what is called a sheltered workshop for handicapped persons. Here to tell you about that is Mrs. Homer Hagee, co-chairman of the committee in charge.
Early this spring, Dr. Dunbar, the Council of Social Agencies appointed a committee headed by Dr. Harold Taylor of the Upshot Institute for Community Research for the purpose of studying the needs of the handicapped people of our community. It was the feeling of the council that there were a great many people in the community whose handicaps made it difficult for them to find employment. The findings of the committee bore this out, and they recommended that some agency should develop a vocational training program and a sheltered workshop for handicapped people. Rather than bring a new organization into the community, with the additional money that would be required to set up such an agency, the committee suggested that one of the already existing agencies should be requested to expand their program to include this new project. It seemed that the Salvation Army would be the logical organization to do this, and since last June, the Army has been working on this project and will have it in operation soon after the first of the year. Our workshop will be housed in the Army's new building located at 428 North Burdick Street. There we will use the entire main floor and basement, as well as the second floor of the building next door. We intend to begin the project by using salvage materials which the Salvation Army collects for Kalamazoo's needy families. For example, each year hundreds of pairs of old shoes are donated to be passed on to someone in need of them. However, many times these shoes are pretty well worn before the Army gets them. In our workshop, equipment will be installed and these shoes will be repaired so that they will be of value to those who get them. We will be doing two things. First, we will be reconditioning a pair of worn shoes and making them available to someone needing them. Second, we will be providing a job for some handicapped person. This same sort of thing will be worked out with other salvage materials we receive. Broken furniture will be repaired and reupholstered in our workshop. Each year there are a number of families who are burned out, and the Army is called upon to help them get started housekeeping again. You can see how much these articles are needed. The clothes we receive will be cleaned and pressed. If there is any repairing to be done, it will be taken care of in our workshop. Another project will be making garments over into children's clothes, which is so badly needed in our community. We also plan to use scrap materials from the local industrial plant by making them into useful articles. It is our desire to make this entire project self-supporting. Of course, it being a new project, we necessarily will have to start on a very modest scale. I believe that we will be able to provide employment for 10 or 12 people right from the beginning. Our goal after we get underway will be to provide work for between 35 and 50. We plan to make our program a training project where handicapped people will be taught a trade and then assisted in finding employment for themselves. So we hope to have quite a large turnover. Our aim is not to give charity, but to provide people with an opportunity to help themselves. We will be working in cooperation with the State Rehabilitation Office and the Kalamazoo County Bureau of Social Aid, as well as Western Michigan College. There is a committee appointed from the Salvation Army Advisory Board to work with me in setting up this new project. Mr. Charles Wilcox is my co-chairman, and the committee is made up of Mrs. Fred Chappell, Mrs. Colin Hackney, and Mr. William Pont.
Thank you, Mrs. Hagee. That's certainly a very worthy project. And here's thanks to you and all the members of the Salvation Army for doing these fine things for the people of our community. Next week, we're going to review this year in Kalamazoo with a brief look ahead for 1949. And now, here's your announcer.